Well, thank you, Greg and team. It was great to sing those Christmas carols and get our hearts attuned to Christ's coming this season. And thanks, Greg, for the prediction on the green Christmas there. When Wyarton Willie, or whatever the beaver's name is, doesn't seize his shadow, we know about six more weeks of winter. And for me, on the first Sunday of December, when I look at the slides in the background and I see Greg doesn't use any slides that have snow on them, it means we're going to have a green Christmas. So thanks for that prediction there. I hope it comes true for us. So we're starting our Christmas series. Have a fearless Christmas. Now you think fear and Christmas, or have a no fear Christmas. Why would we put the words fear and Christmas together? You know, fear and Halloween, understand that. What about Christmas? Well, there's some people, there's plenty to fear about Christmas. Like if you're cellophobic, it means you have the fear of flashing lights. Well, we have lights at Christmas time. Or if you're sissonophobic, then you have a fear of kissing someone underneath the mistletoe. Or there's syngenesophobia, which is the fear of getting together with the relatives. And see, if there's one good side of COVID-19 this year, is you don't have to worry about getting together with the relatives, particularly if you've got that phobia. Or there's melagigriscophobia, I may have mispronounced that one, which is the fear of turkeys. And since the relatives aren't coming over, you don't need to cook a big meal, so just make yourself a sandwich and you don't have to deal with that fear. Or there's gabophobia, which is the fear of receiving a gift and the social anxiety that that causes when being in a group of people. Well, we all have fears, phobias. And Christmas 2020 is an unusual season. With the rise of COVID cases here in BC, it's just accentuated our fears. And so instead of a Merry Christmas, it sometimes feels like a scary Christmas. But in this series, Fear Not, we want to address our fears and look at what the Scripture and what God has to say to us and how He'll meet us in the midst of our anxieties and fears. See, at the very first Christmas, when Jesus was born, there was a lot of fear. I don't know if you're aware of that, but almost all the people in the first Christmas narrative experienced fear. And God had a word for them, as He does for us in 2020. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. You see it there on the screen. Why don't you read it out loud together with me? When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. So the context there is referring to the wise men who went to see Herod and told him about the star. And what's Herod's response there? He's terrified, and not only him, but most of Jerusalem as well. Well, we could paraphrase that in our time. You know, when word of the coronavirus got to Dr. Bonnie Henry, she was terrified, and not Dr. Henry alone, but most of British Columbia as well. Like, that's the way it feels like now, doesn't it? But like I said, God gives a word to each person who experienced fear that first Christmas, and He has a word for us also. So let's kind of quickly walk through some of the characters from the first Christmas narrative. We have, first of all, Herod, who had the fear of losing control. He was one of the people who was afraid. In fact, as I just read, he was terrified that first Christmas. See, he constantly feared conspiracy. He was a man who was very insecure. Though he was king of the castle, he feared always getting knocked off of his throne. And so as a result, he executed his wife when he suspected her of plotting against him. He did the same to three of his sons, to another wife, to his mother-in-law. And just before he died, he killed his own son. And as he was on his deathbed, this insecure King Herod, he realized that no one would mourn his passing. And so he devised one last wicked scheme to kind of, in a sense, force the nation to cry. He devised this plan to have many people murdered so that there would be this outpouring of grief in the nation when he passed away. Well, thankfully, his son and his sister didn't enforce that plan, because with him dead, there was no fear of retaliation. Caesar Augustus said about Herod, "It's safer to be Herod's pig than his son." It kind of summarizes this insecure king. And so when the wise men from the east travel following the star, and they meet up with Herod, and they say, "We've traveled a long way. We've come to worship this king." Herod freaks out, like, "King? I'm the king. What kind of king are you talking about?" He doesn't want his throne usurped. And so we read in the rest of the Gospel of Matthew there in the second chapter, how after he met with the Magi, that he told them, "Oh, come back. Come and see me after you go and worship this newborn king, because I want to go worship him also." But they were warned in a dream by God to not return to Herod. And when Herod realized that he had been tricked, his fear turned to anger, and he murdered all the baby boys under age 2. At Christmas time, we sing the carol, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm." But it wasn't calm that first Christmas. The whole city was fearful, led by this fearful King Herod, who was afraid of losing control. Control. How are you doing with that in the midst of this pandemic? We have all realized through this COVID-19 season that we have so little under our control. You had plans for 2020 that didn't happen. Perhaps you have hopes for 2021 that may or may not happen. Can you trust God in this? Or you just worry about it? See, if you're worrying, it's a sign you're trying to play God. Worry is a sign that you're trying to take God's place. You're trying to control that which can't be controlled. But friends, why worry when we can trust in a loving Heavenly Father and surrender all these things outside of our control to Him? What is a person like who's fearful of losing control? Well, besides worrying, they can try and seize control of that which is in their life. You know, it could be relationships, it could be circumstances, all sorts of things. And the more insecure we are, the more we try and grasp that control. So I invite you today to not find your security in control, but rather in God. And when you are secure in your relationship with God, then you can trust Him with relationships. Trust Him with your health. Trust Him with the outcomes in your life. Today, give up control to the one who is ultimately in control, God Almighty. And He says to you today, "Fear not, my child." Second character would be Zechariah. And he has the fear of disappointment. In Luke chapter 1, we read, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and there appeared upon him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Fear not.'" So Zechariah, one day as he's doing these priestly duties, his regular routine, he encounters this angel. What's his reaction? Well, he's afraid, of course. Who wouldn't be? But then the angel gives him this message of hope and a promise. Does he believe it? Because he's been disappointed for so long, so many times before. Perhaps you can relate, because you've been disappointed. Maybe you've given up on a dream, given up on something you wanted to start. Maybe to go back to school or launch a business or some idea. Maybe you've lost hope in the future. Maybe you've given up on dating. Maybe you've given up on God. For all those who feel disappointed, next Sunday we're going to explore deeper into this topic of Zechariah and our disappointments and how God meets us with a message of fear not. The third group of people in the Christmas narrative are the shepherds with the fear of the supernatural. In Luke chapter 2, we read, "In that same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Well, no doubt. I mean, I don't know much about sheep herding, but I imagine at night it's fairly passive kind of activity. You know, the sheep are all sleeping. You know, I kind of picture, you know, this big bonfire that you make to sort of keep the predators at bay, you know, and, you know, maybe play some cards with your fellow shepherds, doze off, you know, but then boom, Luke writes there that this angel of the Lord appears to them. No wonder they're afraid. They're terrified. And what does the angel say? Luke 2:10. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Again, that message of fear not from the angel. The supernatural breaking into our lives. God forcing us to change. Circumstances disrupting. Things like that will cause us to, you know, adrenaline to shoot through our brain. What do? And we often have that fight or flight response system activated in our body. Now, chances are you didn't see an angel in 2020, but God in some way showed up for you. In some way he's disrupted all of our plans, all of our lives. There's been so much change this year, right? How do you respond when God breaks into your plans, your circumstances? Do you notice when he's trying to get your attention? Are you open to receiving from him, to hearing from him, to following him in this new normal time period? Following him what he's called you to be and do. Not afraid of the supernatural and God speaking to you. We're going to dive deeper into the message of the shepherds and God's message of fear not in 2 weeks' time. The next character is Joseph. With a fear of disapproval. Matthew's gospel records the interaction between Joseph and the angel. Joseph's fiance, Mary, has told him that she is pregnant. And he's like, "What? We haven't had sex." And she tells him it's through the Holy Spirit and she's going to bear God's son. Yeah, right. Joseph doesn't believe her. He intends to break off the engagement, which in his culture is the equivalent of divorce. He's angry. He's shocked. He feels powerless. He's worried. What are his parents going to think? What is his family going to think? What about the small town? People are going to gossip and talk and tongues will wag and accusations will be made. What is he to do? He knows Mary's character. And so he decides. He could publicly shame her. He could make a big spectacle about it. But the Bible tells us he decides to divorce her quietly. And then we read these words in Matthew chapter 1. "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.'" So the word from the angel to Joseph, fear not. What was Joseph afraid of? Well, he may encounter this angel. But besides that, I wonder if he was afraid of just, what of people's reactions? What would his father say? Mary's father? The other carpenters in town? His family? What about people's disapproval? Do you ever struggle with that? Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, But trusting in the Lord means safety. See, you and I have that choice. Are we going to be a people pleaser or going to be a God pleaser? Are we going to live for the opinions of other people? Are we always going to worry and be fearful about their actions and reactions? And especially now in this time period where everybody's on edge and, opinions are flying around all kinds of things and there's very polarizing opinions being shared and divisiveness in our time period. Are you going to live in the fear of people or respond to God and be a people pleaser, living for the audience of one? We'll talk more about Joseph in this series also. And I believe his story can bring tremendous freedom to you. Or another character, that's Mary, facing the fear of inadequacy. We read in Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying. Well, of course she's going to be greatly troubled. Oh, favored one? What's God trying to say by that? Favored one? Like, I'm sure she was thinking to herself, who's this angel? Why is he talking to me? Favored one? And perhaps she thought, what about so-and-so or so-and-so? Because God, there's so many other women out there who are more blank. Perhaps she thought, yeah, God, there are so many other women who are more mature, more spiritual, more devoted, more prepared, etc. No doubt she struggled with inadequacy. Because think about her situation. She's just a teenager. She's unmarried, yet she's engaged. She's now pregnant. This child will be God's son. She's got to raise the perfect child. What's she going to say to her family? A census is now being taken. She has to travel to Bethlehem with her fiancé. I've never been on a donkey. And I've obviously never been pregnant. But I can't imagine being pregnant, riding on a donkey, the last day of your pregnancy. And then she gives birth in, you know, this very humble surrounding, away from all of her family and friends and support network. Huh. No doubt she felt inadequate. She's troubled at the angel's words. What does the angel say to her? "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus." Those same two words again from the angel. Fear not. Can you relate to that fear of inadequacy? Do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever wonder if you're enough? Or do you sometimes think, you know, oh, if only I was smarter, if only I was stronger or faster or more street smart or had more gifts or more talents. And you know how the chatter gets in our headspace. How do you respond to that internal voice? We'll talk more about Mary and God's message of fear not for our inadequacies on Christmas Eve. Scripture I want us to look at one verse today is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You can turn in the Bible or you'll see it there in your sermon notes on the Grace Point app. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul writing to Timothy, he says these words, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." See, the little we know about Timothy, it seems to be that he struggled with fear. Like Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, talking about Timothy coming, he says to them, "I want you to treat him kindly. See to it that he has nothing to fear." Which made me wonder, what did he have to fear? And why is Paul trying to protect them? Or in the first letter, 1 Timothy, Paul writes and he says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. See, Timothy struggled with fears, as do I, as do you. So what do we do with our fears? Where do we take them? Today in 2020, our scripture verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, reminds us that God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. Oh, there's lots of things to fear that we hear about on the outside, but they don't have to be within us. And I say to you, friends, stop listening to that voice of fear. Shayla Visser says, transitions are about voice recognition. I love that, because we're in this period of massive disruption. And whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the one who's in control of all things? See, friends, you can walk in fear or you can walk in faith. But in a sense, they can't coexist. Because if you open up your door to fear, then fear will come in and faith will leave. But I say, don't open that door. You've got faith within you. God hasn't given you that spirit of fear, but rather of power and love and of self-control. You live in that spirit. You live in that identity. And you walk the fear not walk. As I said, fear is all around us, particularly on the news cycle, right? There's an old saying in news that if it bleeds, it leads. The idea that you begin with, you know, the most graphic story or the worst news kind of thing because it hooks people in. And now during this pandemic, the news has had a lot of, material to deal with in that. It's all around us, but we don't have to let it in our hearts and in our minds. Though fear is contagious, we have the option and the choice to not embrace it. And we live as people of hope. Pastor Greg last week took a great picture of a rainbow over our church. And when he showed it, it was just a great reminder to me that God is looking after our church. And that God is looking after you. He'll take care of you. And the rainbow speaks to the promises of God. There's a promise associated in the Bible with the rainbow. And there are over 7,000 promises in the scripture. Promises for you. So let me ask you, where does your hope lie? In this Christmas season, we look to our Savior, to the baby who was born in Bethlehem. And in that carol, O little town of Bethlehem, is the line, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Who's the thee? Jesus. We take all our hopes and all our fears to Him. And that's where we find freedom. That's where we find our security in Christ. And we don't give in to the fears that are all around us. Almost 500 years ago, the Heidelberg Catechism described the Christian experience this way. And I feel it's very fitting for December 2020. They begin this way. What is your only comfort in life and death? I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You belong to God. Have you surrendered your life to Him? Do you need to re-surrender it in the midst of the time period we're living in? Because when you do that, when you trust Him, when you walk by faith, then everything that's happening out there can't steal your hope, your peace, your joy that you've got within you. we look to our Savior. This baby born in Bethlehem came to die on your behalf and on my behalf. There's a painting in the Louvre Museum in France. You see it there on the screen. It's by Georges de La Tour, and he painted it back in 1642. And he called it Joseph the Carpenter. And there's Joseph, you know, the older dad, and there's Jesus, you know, perhaps 8-10 years old. And do you see the candle that he's holding and the light? And I find it fascinating that hundreds of years ago that he could paint like that, that Jesus' hand almost looks translucent there, the light shining through. But do you notice the crosses there in the painting? Do you see them in the shadows with the wood, the auger? That this one Jesus came as your Savior, as my Savior. He came into this world as the light of the world, that you and I could experience life with God through Him, through His death and resurrection on the cross. This God is for you. I'm wondering, as we begin this Fear Not series, is there a fear or anxiety within you that today you need to surrender to Him? Before we go to the table, why don't we just take a few moments of silence? And why don't you just take that time to give it over to God? Your own insecurity, your own fear of what others may think, your own fear of the supernatural, your own desire for control. Oh Lord Jesus, hear our prayers now. Jesus, thank you that you hear. Thank you that we can come to you with all our hang-ups, all our shortcomings, all our worries, all our fears, and turn them to you, the one who loves us. And you made that abundantly clear with the price you paid on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, church family, I invite you to take your elements at home there. We begin with the bread. The bread representing Jesus' body, which was broken on that cross. Broken for you. I invite you to now take and eat. And then Jesus, when he was with his first disciples, he took the cup and he said, "This cup represents the new covenant between humanity and God." And so, church family, I invite you to take your cup and drink in the grace of God. Our hopes and fears are met in Him. Let us take and drink. Oh, Jesus, I thank you that you are alive. I thank you that you are watching all that is happening in our world, in our own lives. And thank you that you do something about our fears. We do not have to wrestle alone. We do not have to figure this all out by ourselves. We can trust you, the one who goes before us, the one who fills us with hope, with peace, with joy that comes from you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.